Welcome to this version of America Tonight, this hour anyway. We're going to dive deeper into the rampage that left so many people stunned and really people still talking, sadly, about how safe are you at the workplace, the water cooler, and this issue over being armed at work, and how could somebody go to a naval yard and think that really they were going to be the object of random violence? Of course, I guess I can answer that question. You just never, unfortunately, never know. So that's where we're headed. And besides that, we're going to mix in the numbers game. We like that, right? We can count. It's all about the numbers. And boy, are there a lot of them. How about a homeless guy who turned in $42,000? He's hoping for some good karma, I would say, right? Be pretty tempting if you had nothing and you're eating out of garbage cans when you find money to walk away with that and pocket it. But he did not do that. Speaking of money, I think one of the lotteries, the Powerball, is up to something like a gazillion dollars. I guess it's going to be commonplace, they say now. So we'll talk about that. And a college coach swearing, caught on mic swearing. And it's the great Nebraska Cornhuskers coach who found himself in an awkward position. Every once in a while, right? You're coaching these guys, it slips out, and then it becomes a really big deal. Because we now live in a world where everything is easily recorded, mics are on, cell phones are up, and they got you. And it's tweeted out, and the whole world knows in an instant. So many people have lost jobs that way. Anyway, we'll talk about that and mix that in along with a few other odds and ends when it comes to the world of sports, which is a good time for me to remind you right out of the gate that coming up on our next show, we have this thing, if you just tuned in, called Nail the Score. And what happens in our third hour, just for three segments, we randomly pick the game of the week, our computer does, and then you get to call in and tell me who you think is going to win the game of the week. You just pick a side. It's that easy. And then you tell me what you think the final score is going to be, and then we go from there. And if you win, you have nailed the score, my friends, and you get to clean out whatever's left. Don't get too excited. In the America Tonight prize closet, Dave in Vermont did it last time around. We had Chris in Connecticut who did it before that. And the entire time that I've rolled out nailed the score, though, we've only had a handful of winners. It seems like it would be so easy, but it's not as easy as one would think. All right, the shooter scenario and now what people are talking about. There's all kinds of stories, and that's not a surprise because everybody's trying to get a handle on, okay, what was he about? What was this ex-Navy guy who was now working as a contractor who was on the naval base, had access clearance on the naval base in Washington? What was his background? And Aaron Alexis apparently rented. This is where the AR-15 comes in, the semi-automatic. He rented it and used it for target practice at a gun range and a store less than 2 days before his shooting spree. What he did was he bought a shotgun, a small amount of ammunition. They say about two boxes, 24 shells. And he was, you know, there were reports that he had an assault-style rifle, and it was used in the shooting, but the FBI ruled that out and said, no, that wasn't what happened. He didn't have one. They said at the gun store that he was wanted to buy one, but that wasn't what he got, and so then they pushed that aside. One of the things we do know is that in the weeks before he opened fire on Monday, he reported hearing voices and said that three people were sending vibrations through the ceiling to keep him from sleeping. He was a guy who was getting treated at a VA hospital for problems with illness. He was having trouble sleeping and that kind of stuff. And The police in Newport, Rhode Island said that he called them to a hotel on the morning of August 7th and said he was being followed and worried that people were going to hurt him. He told police that this is the thing about the three people. Talked to him through the walls, the floor, the ceilings at three hotels, two commercial hotels in Rhode Island, one on a naval base there. He told him they used a microwave machine to send the vibrations to keep him awake. So there you go. On the day after, one day after what happened there, they're looking for the explanation. I mean, was it one of the questions that nobody wanted to answer because the FBI was holding press conferences and being bombarded with questions was he just simply mentally ill and he didn't have any deeper motive than that, and that's what it was. So now, of course, the gun control measures. Anytime this happens, they're back, and the tug of war over guns in this country just keeps getting ignited. So it's the shooting sprees. The president uses it and says, this is Congress, Congress's inability to take any kind of action. And then we look at the background check system, and we're vulnerable to mass shootings. He did an interview with Telemundo, the president did, and said ultimately it's something that Congress is going to have to act on. He also ordered a review of government contract and employee security across the federal agencies. Why didn't we not have that decades ago? Yes, people can fall through the cracks. Nothing is 100% secure. I say that all the time. But how could it be with all the things that I'm telling you, including he had a past where he had an arrest record and whatnot. Ultimately, his naval career ended. He did his 4 years and that was it. And there were things that you could trace to him easily if someone had done a decent background check. I mean, for goodness sake, it took reporters who were covering him a mere hour to dig up half of it. So, shame on the government for not having a better way to check a background of somebody, because I think he would have been stopped. I don't think he would have gotten that clearance. So instead, you have people who are hopefully trying to work their way through the stages of grief, but how do you do that when you're blindsided? And where are they? They're holding funeral services, planning for them, trying to get the word out to get relatives to come to town. Anyone know what that's like? Get the coffin, figure out where they want to be buried, all the things that go into when you're hurled into the world of death, and suddenly it happens in this horrible, horrible way. He's killed after repeatedly shooting toward the cops who swarmed the Sea Systems Command, which is specifically where he was, as part of the massive response to the shots that were fired. So specifically, the president ordered that the Office of Management and Budget look at the security standards for contractors and employees across federal agencies. Oh, my, oh, my. It's always, always, always in this country after the fact. We are a nation of reactors, don't you think? 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Starting off with We Can Count, here's a list that producer Matt Johnson wishes he was on. Forbes magazine releases its annual list of the richest people in America, also known as the Forbes 400. The billionaires on the list have an average net worth of $5 billion, a combined net worth of $2 trillion, both the highest ever, ever. Can you guess who number one was? If you were thinking Bill Gates, give yourself a pat on the back. Yes, indeed. $72 billion is what Mr. Bill Gates is worth. Wow, $72 billion. Are you kidding me? Who do you think was number two on the list? It's always the usual suspects. That'd be Warren Buffett, the Berkshire Hathaway CEO. His net worth, $58.5 billion. And here's a guy I sat next to once for just a few minutes at a tennis match. He seemed pretty friendly. Had no idea who he was. Turns out it was Larry Ellison, the CEO of Oracle. He has a net worth of $41 billion. Woo! So you get the idea, right? All right, this is sad, but it does make the number count. I just can't even believe this as I read this today. But a 12-year-old Texas boy died after having a severe allergic reaction to ant bites he suffered while he was warming up during halftime of a middle school football game in Corpus Christi. Cameron Espinosa died after being bitten multiple times by fire ants. He used a water bottle to try to flush the ants away before he lost consciousness. And there were medics that were assigned to the high school varsity football games in Texas, but in the middle school games, they don't have them. You have coaches that know first aid and CPR. They used a defibrillator on him before he was taken to the hospital by ambulance. Very sad. The eighth grader was in critical condition and then passed away late on Monday. Wow. He had no idea he was allergic to ants. No record of allergies for him whatsoever. Who would think that they would be allergic to to fire ants. I never heard of that, but I suppose you could be allergic to lots of things. It's like bee stings and whatnot. What an awful thing. They're wearing green and white ribbons, by the way, with the number 66 on them to refer to Cameron's jersey number and the colors for the middle school. And a lot of people around the town and around Corpus Christi are trying to do the same thing. It's really affected them in a mighty, mighty big way as they take their football seriously and are very sad for this loss of this little boy and for his family as well. We talked about this on a previous show. You know that crazy ship, the cruise ship that flipped on its side and it was stuck for 20 months in the same position off of Giglio Island in Italy? It's crazy. It took 19 hours, but they actually wrenched it up from its side where it capsized last year off of Tuscany. And so there you go. Shortly after 4 a.m., the foghorn wailed, and that was it. And the ship was vertical, and they were able to rotate it. They called that, and who knew this? You're going to learn something, right? Every once in a while, we give you a little nugget of information that's kind of mind-blowing. When you rotate a ship like that, and it becomes from its side, goes vertical, it's a nautical term. It's called parbuckling. Parbuckling. And they said that it did exactly what they hoped it would do. It's crazy to see the ship. It certainly doesn't look like the cruise ship that it once was whatsoever. So they're going to float it away from Giglio in the spring. They're going to turn it into scrap. And, you know, that's it. The amount of steel they'll get out of it is a pretty big amount, obviously. And the Concordia's captain right now is on trial for alleged manslaughter, causing a shipwreck and abandoning the ship during the chaotic and delayed evacuation. So Captain Francesco Schettini claims the reef wasn't on the charts for the week-long Mediterranean cruise. He did not see it. Remember, 32 people died in this, and other people were obviously traumatized by what happened with this Carnival Cruise Line's Concordia. So they got it up. That's the key thing. And whatever happens after that, we'll see how that plays out in court, because it could go either way depending on who you talk to. It really could go either way. And to me, it wouldn't be shocking if he somehow wiggled out of it. I think it's just the craziest thing. I mentioned this deal about lotteries and how big lotteries have gotten, but they say there could be more giant jackpots. Like Wednesday's Powerball is supposed to be about $400 million. It's the fifth largest ever, second to top $4 million in the past 2 months. So what gives? Why is it getting bigger? Mega Millions, they're changing some of the things that they're doing. And that's what happened with Powerball. They changed the game's rules in 2012 to boost payouts. And a lot of that has to do with numbers. They say the success of Powerball happened when they increased ticket prices from $1 to $2, and they boosted the starting jackpot from $12 million to $15 million, and it grows by at least $5 million between drawings when no top winner is declared, and that's how it gets built up faster. Powerball and Mega Millions are sold in 43 states, plus the District of Columbia and the U.S. Virgin Islands. The new Mega Millions game goes into effect October 22nd. October 22nd. Wow. So we may be seeing more of those, of the big jackpots, because of some of the increases that I mentioned. So here we go with new trials, convictions, and what will happen when the gavel comes down in New Orleans. A federal judge on Tuesday ordered a new trial for five former New Orleans police officers that were convicted of civil rights violations stemming from those shootings on a bridge after Hurricane Katrina. It was a 129-page ruling, and the U.S. District Judge Kurt Engelhardt said at least three government attorneys posted anonymous comments on the newspaper's website. It created kind of a carnival atmosphere, and the public has to have, this is the judge, has to have absolute trust and confidence in the process. Retrying the case is a very small price to pay in order to protect the validity of the verdict in the case and the institutional integrity of the court. Wow. I don't think they were necessarily expecting that. A jury convicted 5 former officers in 2011. Their attorneys argue that prosecutors' online comments and leaks to news organizations were part of a secret public relations campaign that deprived the clients of a fair trial. Of a fair trial. So they're doing it again. How about that? Go through that whole thing one more time. And it could turn out different the second time around. It easily could turn out different. Congress, which hasn't passed very many laws this time around, not anywhere near even 20, is looking at relaxing sentences. So we're talking about sentences depending on what the, if it's a first-time offender or what the deal is there. The Senate Judiciary Committee is holding a hearing on minimum sentences. The committee is considering 2 bills, which has been talked about for a long time. And the 2 bills, sponsored by a Democrat and a Tea Party Republican, would allow judges to waive mandatory minimum sentences in many circumstances, especially for drug crimes. Wednesday's hearing is the first step in legislation that advocates and advocates in both parties a chance of winning enactment by the end of the year. So that's pretty interesting. In fact, the Attorney General has shown interest in working with Congress to make permanent changes in sentencing laws. It was just last month when he instructed the federal prosecutors to stop charging nonviolent drug offenders with crimes that carry mandatory minimum sentences. So this is a very, very big change. Prison costs have jumped up in the past 30 years. The Bureau of Prisons budget now around $6.8 billion, or 25% of the Justice Department's total. The yearly cost of housing a federal prisoner, are you ready for this, ranges from $21,000 to $33,000, depending on the level of security, and it's steadily going up, 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 up. Coming up on the flip side, Nathan Schneider joins us. He's written a book about Occupy Wall Street 2 years later. You don't want to miss this. Hang with us.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
With the well-known shortage of availability in guns and ammo, the question is, will food and preparedness items be next? Now, at ProStoresDirect.com, buy a 32-serving bug-out bucket, and you'll get a prime assortment of Mountain House survival food entrees, including favorites like chili mac with beef and spaghetti and meat sauce, all made with real USDA meat. That's enough food for one adult for a full week, all for just $75.99 with free shipping, delivered in a handy resealable bucket that'll store for up to 25 5 years. ProStores Direct has a huge selection of family-sized food units, too, right up to military-grade number 10 cans. And we'll give you great deals on new military first aid and surgical kits, portable water filters, heirloom seeds, and all your bug-out gear. Always with free shipping to the lower 48. Be ready for any challenge with food security for your family at ProStoresDirect.com. ProStoresDirect.com, your first stop for preparedness and survival gear, and proud sponsor of the free media.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Here they come again, catch us if you can, time to get a move on, we will yell with all of our might, catch us if you can, 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 now we gotta run. What type of fun, when we're getting angry, we will yell with all of our might, catch us if you can, catch us if you can, catch us if you can.
To America Tonight. Do you believe it's been 2 years since the beginning of Occupy Wall Street? I was in New York for the very first Occupy Wall Street, just coincidentally, and I can remember hearing the bullhorn. I remember talking about it actually on the show, and then we saw how it grew and spread in other cities, and certainly capturing some headlines, some imagination in some ways. Really, there were a lot of people who jumped on board, and it started to become a little bit of a movement, and then it failed in the end, at least what they were hoping to accomplish, I believe, Occupy Wall Street, in what some of the areas, because it differed from place to place, although there were some common themes. In the wings in our virtual green room, we've got Nathan Schneider. He's somebody that you probably read his work, perhaps in the New York Times, The Nation. He covered OWS a lot. And his latest book is Thank You, Anarchy, Notes from Occupy Apocalypse. Hey, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it, Nathan.
Absolutely. It's great to be on.
So tell me about the first time that you encountered OWS and your thoughts as you were reporting this. What was running through your mind and what you saw?
Oh, it's a funny story, and actually I was reminded of it in the last in the last few weeks because it was portrayed on the on HBO's show The Newsroom, where one of the characters in the show seems to have borrowed something from my article for Harper's about showing up at the first my first planning meeting for Occupy Wall Street about a month before it started in Tompkins Square Park in New York, and I hear someone say, "No cops or reporters," and so I raise my hand and say, "Oh, I'm a journalist. I'm interested in covering this." And then there's a half hour dispute about whether I could stay, and that was pretty harrowing. And you know, all along in the course of reporting on this movement, you know, there's been that sense of constant interchange between frustration and difficulty and confusion and just amazement and inspiration. You know, that meeting was full of young people who were energetic, who were ready to organize and put their bodies in the way of power. And it was an exciting thing to discover.
And so as you started to get deeper in and you started to see some of the people involved, what did you think were the main themes and the reason that Occupy Wall Street started in the first place?
Well, you know, we can talk about the broader injustices. We can talk about the economic collapse and income inequality. Racial inequality in the United States is still very, very significant. You know, we can talk about all those things. Lots of people do so. But I think another part of it that's really important is the inspiration. You know, you mentioned the word imagination earlier. You know, income inequality is worse right now, you know, than it was then. In the United States, but there was an inspiration then in 2011. You know, Tahrir Square had happened. There was still a very positive sense of what that represented. People had risen up in Wisconsin as well, and actually that summer I was seeing a number of different groups planning to occupy public space in the United States at the same time. It was amazing. There was something in the air. They were all doing it independent of each other. I was going to several different planning groups at the same time reporting on this. And there was just this sense that, oh, maybe, you know, people cast aside that usual irony, that sense that we can't do anything, and started to feel, oh, actually, maybe we can. Maybe a little bit of organizing and a little bit of creativity and courage can make a big difference.
What did you think, you know, as you watched it expand and you, as you said, the imagination of some of the people and what was happening, what did you think as you started to see it atrophy and collapse? Were you surprised by that? It's funny you mentioned the Newsroom segment. I saw that on HBO, and you're right, they probably did copy some of that from what you had written. But in that, clearly some of the questioning was about, well, there's no, you know, the back and forth, there's no real leadership. Don't you have to have a leader? Was that one of the things that you think caused the collapse? There wasn't just one main theme and somebody who was in charge, so to speak, of all the OWS movements across the country?
Well, we in this country have such a funny way of looking at popular movements. I mean, mm-hmm. the way we, you know, conjure these criteria about what a movement has to look like, you know, it's really based on a lot of falsehoods about how movements have actually been in this country, based on the way that they've been adopted by the kind of public discourse. You know, we're told that the civil rights movement happened when Martin Luther King stood up and decided to take a stand and then told everybody how to do so. And that's not true at all. There were a number of different groups doing a number of different things, actually, if you look at the work of a social movement historian in the 80s and 90s named Bill Moyer, he describes something exactly like what took place in Occupy, that movements generally start with this kind of moment of adrenaline where you don't need a leader, where it's all about an idea and it's all about a rupture. And, you know, I call it in the book an apocalypse, which in Greek means an unveiling. You know, it's this exciting moment where people realize that things are really wrong and get a sense of a spark and an excitement. then, you know, over the course of years, they gradually, they fall out of that. It can't last forever. And they start to build new structures. They start to work in new ways. And that's what's happening now, is that a lot of the people who were involved in Occupy Wall Street are now, you know, not so much thinking of themselves as associated with Occupy, but they're doing things like organizing fast food workers and sparking strikes at Walmart and putting their bodies in the way of the Keystone XL pipeline that promises to, you know, to be what you know, the NASA scientist James Hansen called a carbon bomb for our planet. All these things.
Yeah. The do you think, and a great way, by the way, to describe that, and a great way to look at that. So there were things that maybe many of the people took out of OWS, as you were describing one of them, that they then are putting in play, perhaps even in their later years, who knows, with things that they're working on in the community, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to recognize that this is what the people in those planning meetings I was at were after. You know, the idea of one demand was something that Adbusters, this magazine in Canada, proposed initially. But by the time the occupation actually began, there had been weeks of meetings where people planning what would happen on the ground had decided they weren't interested in one demand. They weren't ready to make one demand. They weren't powerful enough. They had to build a movement first. Adbusters had made a mistake. And what they wanted to do instead was inspire people around the country to organize in their communities and their neighborhoods to come up with their own demands that were relevant to their communities. And that's what people have done. And you know, so I think a lot of times when people talk about the failure of Occupy, you know, they judge it by standards that are kind of apart from what a lot of these people were trying to do.
Was there one particular person or several people that you met that you just really, you just hooked onto them? You thought, wow, this person is so interesting, and I can't believe that initially seeing it through their eyes, they came from whatever situation, and here they are. I see them day in and day out. Was there somebody that really touched you, in other words?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there were so many. That was the problem. You know, if there was one thing to, in one way to describe what the occupation was like, it was like, you know, a conversation that you could never get out of. You would go in one day, one afternoon, and you just strike up a conversation with somebody, and then one thing would lead to another, and it would never end. You know, one person who I write about a lot in the book, who's, you know, become a controversial figure in the movement, but, you know, was a very influential one, is a guy named Amin, who grew up in Palestine, who was a part of the First Intifada as a kid. And so he had this history of resistance and experience. Then he became a corporate lawyer, so he understood business. And then he got frustrated with that, felt it was empty, and dropped out and became an artist. And that combination was so, you know, so essentially Occupy in a way, that history of resistance, but then also that way of being an artist, of a crafter of the imagination. And so many of the people who drove the movement, you know, weren't so much political operatives, weren't so much strategists. They were artists. They were, you know, professional artists, people who'd been to art school, musicians, all these things, people who were used to trying to blow people's minds and trying to get them to open up their sense of possibility of what society could be like.
And I can imagine in your book you probably have other stories like that. Do you do that in the book as you trace the movement and whatnot?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the book, I think of it as the story of these people trying to come to terms with what they had helped create. You know, this phenomenon, you know, spread so much more wildly and rapidly than I think anybody could have expected. And they were excited by that and enlivened by that, but at the same time, they weren't quite sure what to do with it, and their control over it was limited, and that was a real adventure. And you know, it led to, you know, on the one hand, some really exciting moments, some just thrilling experiences of opening to new possibilities, but also, you know, a lot of frustration and pain and hurt.
Yeah. All right, pick up the book. You want to read more of those stories. Thank you, Anarchy Notes from the Occupy Apocalypse. Love that title. Nathan Schneider, appreciate you coming on America Tonight.
Absolutely. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Times are changing, and violent crimes against law-abiding citizens are out of control. Protect yourself with legal, affordable, 100% made-in-the-USA ballistic body armor. Available at AR500.com. Rated for calibers up to .308 Winchester. Packages including armor start at only $210. It's the right of every responsible American citizen to own body armor. Get some at 602-501-9607 or AR500.com.
So, you've decided to get prepared. You're not sure that a case of ramen and a couple of granola bars under your bed will cut it as long-term food storage anymore. You're in luck. At Emergency Essentials, we have all the resources to get you started. From three-day emergency bug-out bags to year supplies of food and everything in between. Call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Hey, Cajun Lady America, tonight we're rounding that final turn. We're hitting it hard, everybody. Coming up on our next show, we got a cool thing called Song Pong. Ponder that. I'm not even going to give you any more of a description. Song Pong. Also, Alana Stewart, the ex-wife of Rod Stewart, is going to join us to talk about a program that she has going on for her friend Farrah Fawcett, who died from cancer. Now it's been about a year or so, and she's working in conjunction with Stand Up to Cancer. And Nail the Score. Oh, yeah, Nail the Score. Randomly, the game of the week in the NFL, call in. It's like buying a lottery ticket, only you have no money that you have to plunk down. You pick one of the teams, tell us what the score is going to be, and you could nail the score. Plus, dumb things I shouldn't have done. So that means we're going to be focusing on Washington part of the time. Speaking of dumb things I shouldn't have done, Bo Pelini, you know that name? All right, if you're a Nebraska fan or you hate Nebraska, you know who the coach is. He is the coach of that football team. He says he thinks the fans are going to forgive him for comments leaked this week where he criticized them during an expletive-laced rant. I want you to hear in his own words what the coach had to say.
A shock to me. You know, that was a conversation that was private that happened in a during an emotional time during a private setting, and obviously it wasn't representative of how I feel. It was a difficult time, and I vented in a situation where I thought it was a private conversation, and obviously it's unfortunate, and with it being out there, like I said, I've made a statement with along with university, you know, saying that I'm sorry.
So he says he's sorry, but here's the thing you don't know about. This happened in October of 2011. Deadspin.com released the audio, and they released the audio after the Huskers win over Ohio State, right? So what you hear on it is Pelini's comments critical of a couple of sports writers from Omaha and Nebraska fans. He was upset at fans for their halftime boos. When they were trailing the Buckeyes, and the early departure from Memorial Stadium. So he was shocked by the audio being released. It was provided by, ready for this, a tipster, somebody that wanted to burn him because of, I'm sure, something to do with the Buckeyes. And the six-year coach said he heard in the past there was something out there, but he didn't know of the specific recording. Now he does, and so does the whole world. So here's the thing. Does he get a pass? What do you think, guys? Does he get a pass? You say things in crazy moments. You're emotional. You're human. You blurt it out. So he's ranting because he got booed. So he didn't rant on the field. He ranted afterwards, and oh, lo and behold, it was taped. I would want to know who the person was that did the taping, the leaked audio. Where'd that come from? Who has the leaked audio? Oh, well, he doesn't have to worry about it popping up anymore because now it's there. And think about that. He's had this job since December of 2007. Yeah, 2007. So 2011, this comes out. What are we, in 2013? Please. Matt, what do you think? I like Deadspin. So obviously someone fed him the audio, but he's got to know who the audio came from, I would think.
It's probably one of those crackpot producers. So just so you know, down the line, I was here.
Yeah, that's right. You have the audio. You're recording all of our conversations.
I record everything off air with you.
Nice. Nice. I just want to say right now, I apologize for anything I have said that might show up somewhere if Matt Johnson gets upset with me and plans it. Oh, that's terrible.
I'm just waiting for your big move to the big time.
Yeah, my big move. But if I have the big move, then you're going to want to go so you can't burn me with that.
It's job security.
It is job security. There you go. I think Pelini should get a pass on this one, folks. He was upset. They booed him. I remember that game. And for goodness sake, it was so long ago. Somebody's trying to get him here.
If they're not, if they were 2-0 right now and didn't look so horrible, this never happens.
Right.
But they probably should have lost to Wyoming. They just got trounced by UCLA, so they're trying to run them out of town. And this is the way to do it. The straw that broke the camel's back.
That's right, because they had the great Tom Osborne, who was the coach there before, and he was squeaky clean. So squeaky clean, his loafers, you could hear him miles away when he shuffled along the sideline. So, yeah. All right, speaking of shuffling along the sidelines, if you were just thinking, hey, my team goes to the Super Bowl, I want to go, check this out. You know what a Super Bowl ticket is going for? Well, premium seats. Premium seats, $2,500. $2,500, and that's club-level mezzanine seats, $2,500. And that's up from $1,500 for last year's Super Bowl. About 40% of the tickets, now the NFL, as soon as they heard that, okay, everybody's going to do stories about this, because they released the prices. So then they have to come out and have another statement saying, oh, well, by the way, 40% of the tickets are going to cost less than $1,000. Wow, less than $1,000? Are you kidding? And even the league is considering dropping 30% of the upper-level tickets from $950 to $800 this season. Upper corners. will probably cost about $500. Ugh, where you can't even see anything anyway. Even if it's your team on the field, that's like a big tease. Wow, what, are they down there? Let me get my binoculars. I'm not sure. I can't see them. Yeah, that's crazy. Why bother? All right, speaking of the NFL, no longer when you do get that one lone ticket to the NFL game, which won't be the Super Bowl, and you go and you watch and it's a throwback game, there is no more throwback. You know, you'd go and you'd see those pukey orange uniforms or brown uniforms or whatever they were. You will not see your favorite players in them any longer because of the controversy over the helmet. Matt, you were paying attention to this story, too, and that's a bummer because it's so fun to rip on the old-time uniforms.
Yeah, and it seems like it's an across-the-board thing. You have to use the same helmet every year or for every game of the season, and that violates the rule if you're switching from the, what is it, pewter-colored helmets to the white ones, and that kind of goes across the board for every team, so there's not going to be any of the other throwback helmets at all this year.
Yeah, no throwback uniforms, and I guess the reason why is because of all the head injuries. I think that's what they're doing, that they're trying to mess with the helmets
and see
what that's like.
I don't understand why you can't just, I mean, you have two helmets, you just make them exactly the same with different paint on them. I guess I'm not completely following it. I get the logic behind it, but at the same time, I don't understand how you can't just make two identical helmets.
Well, that's because you don't work for the NFL. And if you work for the NFL, you have to make a few mistakes along the way and then issue a correction when you realize, oh, yeah, we could have done that. We could have had two different helmets.
I'm not making $4,000 Super Bowl ticket prices.
That's right. And then changing them and say, oh, geez, now that we've gotten some flack, we better make sure that everybody knows most of our tickets are less than $1,000. So it is kind of stupid. They should have two different kinds of helmets. Two different colors. What's the difference? It's like different uniforms anyway, and then you would keep them. I don't understand, because I think the throwback thing can be very cool. Some of the uniforms, of course, look ugly, but some of them are pretty cool, and the whole idea is to involve the nostalgia, get people excited about it. Frankly, I thought it was a way to sell jerseys, so I can't imagine that. As much as they might say they're on board, they have to be gritting between their teeth. They can't be that excited about it. Can't be. I got to mix this in for my pals in Detroit. A big shout-out to all of you Michiganders. How about this? My man, Miguel Cabrera, hits another home run. It was a solo shot in the sixth inning. Detroit 6-2 over the Mariners on Tuesday. So the Tigers have a six-game lead in front of second place Cleveland in the AL Central. The magic number is 6 for them to eliminate the Indians. But here's the part I love about this. Cabrera is knocking the cover off of the ball. I mean, the expectations of where he's going to end up. He won the Triple Crown last year. How many home runs does Miguel Cabrera have? How many does he have at this point? If you were thinking 44, oh yeah, 44. How about that? Man, thanks for listening once again to America Tonight.
Can heart and body extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using heart and body extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking heart and body extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.